This is an interview for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Florence Gibbons of Port Macquarie on the 28th of October 1991.
My name is Florence Gibbons. I live at 44 Burrowan Street, Port Macquarie, and I was born on the 11th of the 9th, 1908. And I was born at Regentville. I am married, a widow, and I am an Australian, and I have had four children. Living. Yeah.
All right, so first of all, I'll just ask you, how long did you live in the Penrith area?
55 years.
No, from
where you, when I was born in 1908, Regentville, which is a couple of miles out of Penrith. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Cox Avenue, which was called Henry Street in those days. And we did 149 Henry Street those days. And my father was an overseer on the council at that time. And I have two sisters. And my sister, first sister, lived next door to me, the two of my mother and father. And then I lived in the next house, which was the site of the old hospital. And I built a new hospital then up the back of our place. They're two blocks back behind us, which is standing there today, called the Governor Phillip Hospital for the Aged.
And what sort of house did you live in as a child?
Weatherboard house. It was a fairly big one too, and it had two full-size bedrooms. They had to be 12 by 12 or 14 before. They were 12 by 12. And a big lounge room, a hall straight down the middle to the back part, and a big kitchen. And a big, we called it a veranda, but it was really, it was a lot more like the family room they call today. And then a little tiny kitchenette was on that where Mum cooked in the fuel stove. Toasted corn in the oven, in the grate, on the coals was beautiful. We had a big open fireplace with logs on, which was beautiful too. Washed up in a dish, no sinks, washed up in a big tin dish. And I didn't have to do much of it because I was the baby. But the elder sister was the wiper and the second sister was the washer-upper, and my father had a nice, well, we had to be on an acre of land, and Dad would have dug that, all of the ground he would have dug with a fork, and it was clay and hard, you know, and he had the most beautiful vegetable garden. Mum never bought vegetables. Every kind of vegetable you could think of he had, and he would be giving them away to everybody because he would keep growing more than what he wanted. But it was backbreaking. We had our own chooks, which was fun at Christmas time when Dad was cutting their heads off, and I even had to have a go at that by the time I was eight. I would cut the heads off and delighted when the head didn't come off and they danced around with the head flying with them, you know.
We did have a big garden. Did you have electricity and...
We had no electricity. No. We had lamps and candles. Mm-hmm. And the bathroom wasn't right in the house, it was on the side of the kitchen. We had to go out the door onto the closed-in veranda to get to the bathroom, which had a chip heater in it. And we always had to be careful of that. We were always told to be careful of that from burning paper in it or not making too big a fire in it.
What about the toilet? Was that was
about 50 yards mm-hmm. down the back path. And my old grandfather used to have to take a chair with him to sit along the road as he went because he couldn't walk all the way. So he'd go along and drag the chair and keep going till he got there. And we had the, we used to call him the sanitary man, we used to call Sam. He only came once a week and to change the pans. And I can remember one day our dog, a cattle dog, Rattler, chased him and he dropped the pan. Well, luck happened, the lid didn't come off it, they were clipped on the lids. But he certainly went crook. But it was something I thought we'd never get rid of. I thought that was going to be it for the rest of our life, sort of thing, you know. And
when did you get sewerage in that house, or not until after you were married?
It was after we were married. We got married in 1935, and we built, as I said, the two houses up from Mum. Dad had to put a cement path along the back of the three houses. And when we built the house, the sewer, the septic, was all the sewer was put inside but couldn't be used for, I might have been about 12 months. We had the first sewer in Penrith, Firth, and we had to have a makeshift behind the laundry of a Hessian toilet, and Sam had to come there. And if it rained, you had to take an umbrella with you. Yeah. And so we were amongst the first ones that we were all ready to switch on when the sewer was finished. And
did you have electricity in that house?
We had electricity in that house, yes. Because we got the wireless in about 19... the wireless came about 1937 or 30, something like that. And we had nearly prayed to Dad to let us have a wireless. He didn't want that, no noise like that, whatever it was, he wouldn't want any. But once he knew the races was on us, that was it. Dad was, no noise when the races were on, no noise when the cereals were on. And so we got a lot of pleasure out of the wireless and all the cereals. And that was morning tea time at 10 o'clock. We sang out across the three houses and the lady across the road joined in. So we had four of us on the doorsteps. Then the grocer man would come for an order and he'd sit on the doorstep and have a cup of tea and a hot scone and they'd come and got your order, and they brought your order back the next day in a horse and car, and you paid at the end of the fortnight those days.
Was this when you were married or when you were still living with
When I was single. I might be ahead of myself. When I was single. I didn't do that when I was married. But we even, when I was single, we still even had, because I didn't get married until I was 27, and we had a small goods cart used to come around. We had the small goods man used to start it up then, and he'd come with cold meat and honey and butter and eggs. And it was very nice if he just arrived at your place at nice time for lunch, you know. And we weren't far, we were parallel with the railway line, which was about 100 yards on the other side of the street that went past us. No curb and gutter, no good roads, just dirt roads. Postman came on a horse and he'd blow a whistle. And if you dropped the letter, we called him Dan, because if you dropped the letter he'd say damn, you know, and he'd get down to get the letter, and he'd often do that. But I can't remember ever seeing any letterboxes out the front of the houses. I think that we he blew the whistle and he came out and got us. And that was that part of that.
And you went to school?
I went to school at the Penrith Infant School, which is standing there now, down in Henry Street. I went there till I got to the high school stage, I think it was. And they built a new high school up on the corner of Evans Street and High Street, and I think that's where I finished school. I left school at 14, and a new high school got built next door where the towers used to be. Beautiful big cement building, which had to be bricked in when the doctor died. They bricked the doors all in, you know, and never got finished. It was education department bought it, I suppose, and because it was bulldozed down and the school was built there. But they used to have a coachman and the old time horse and and a carriage on the back, not a sulky, a carriage on the back, and Mrs. Barber used to ride in this with a tall top black hat, you know, a veil over and long black sleeves and bone bustle on the back of her skirt, and I can remember that.
She was the doctor's wife, was she?
Yes, and she had a pew in church, what we call a pew now, and there was a box in her seat. I hung on the seat that was in front of it, and she had different coloured fans in it, and she'd always be sitting up there with some lovely fans fanning herself, you know, but always had the high neck bones around her, wild bones around her neck, you know, and the dresses and leg and muck and sleeves and that. I can remember those to start off with.
Were there many women who dressed like that in Penrith?
I can't remember the names of any of them, only because it was just about going on the way out.
Yeah.
And my mother was still wearing very full skirts right down to the ground, even on picnics up the river. We got off to Glenbrook Creek of a Sunday for a picnic, and they'd have long white skirts on yards in the width of them, very full, and long sleeves. To go for picnics, and big straw hats, you know. But I have a photo of the old combinations. I think that must have been, well, they had to be a pair that Grandma wore. She died in 1904, and they used to call them trapdoors because they had a split. Each leg was separate, a very, very full and separate, and hung around you like a petticoat. You probably wouldn't have needed the petticoat for them on. They were so full, and they went over your knees. And they were split at the back, and they were buttoned up down the front. And I thought they seemed like in later life that they took the part of a camisole, a chemise, and a petticoat.
Yeah.
You know, there was so much material in it. And
must have been very hot wearing all those.
Well, they would, and I don't suppose the climate's altered that much from those days, because it's hot enough in Penrith now in the summer.
Yes.
And being long and that too, over your knees, I suppose they'd be probably about 8 or 9 inches over your knees. There's a lot of washing, a lot of ironing. No one seemed to complain about it, and in those days it was the copper with the wood underneath, and copper stick which you had to stir it around with, and that must have been hard on women then, because you get wet sheets in a cop and you try to lift them up and the water drag out of them. They can get pretty heavy, because I had a few years of that myself. In my new house we had a fuel copper, and then we got electric copper. And then, of course, eventually, not in Penrith, we didn't have anything, only the electric copper in Penrith. We moved to Parramatta to a flat for 12 months or something like that, and we got a washing machine in. When washing machines came in, would have been a fair few years, I suppose, after that. But the electric copper, we thought, was fabulous, you know, after wood all the time. I think they had to do it very, very hard, and harder than what I did, because I know my mother did lots of things a hard way that was just becoming to be easier for us. Like, she only had the fuel, the wooden stove, the wooden fuel stove, what she baked in the oven, and what all the vegetables and everything had to be cooked all over the top, and stews for hours, and that, and the stove going all the time. And toast, getting down with a long toasting fork, and you sit down in front of the, and make your toast,
burn
some on the fuel stove. I don't remember Mum having a toaster, but
so she would have spent most of her time in the house, in the kitchen.
Oh, I don't think my mother went down the street. If she went down once a fortnight, that would be all she would have ever gone, because we were a mile from town, and we never had a car, and Dad used to ride a bike to work, and then the council sported a little panel van type of thing, and he used to sit up in that like as if he owned the world, I think. And I suppose probably going about 10 miles an hour and holding anybody up, but there wasn't many cars around the town, because we'd walk home up the main street from the pitches of a night, and no cars at all.
No buses?
Oh, no buses. Never heard of buses. No. No. And I know lots of other things too, because I was allowed to go to the pictures and come home by myself. I wouldn't dream of letting anybody do that now. I used to play for the silent movies, and they'd be from 8 o'clock till 11 o'clock. So, I mean, it could be 11:30 when I'd be walking home, and I was a mile from town, and we didn't have a house on every block of land that you passed. There'd be plenty of big paddocks you had to go past. And
did you have neighbours as a child?
We had neighbours. We had one about 2 blocks away. And one about, that was when I was up about, you know, I would have had to been 10 or 12, I think, before we had neighbours. And we used to have to go down Henry Street, down through a set of railway gates that had to be open to let any cars or any horse and carts through. And they had to be kept shut so no stray horses got on the railway line. And down to the old school that's standing there now. And I don't know that we've passed any. Can't think of any houses down there, home.
Really?
I think the houses that were there are still there. They couldn't have been built as early as, you know, when I first started school. But,
and you walked to school too then?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we walked to school. We never had a car till, well, we were married in 1935. And my husband had to have a motorbike to go to work at Parramatta. And he worked for a big timber firm and for Goodyears eventually. And when the war came on, he was at Goodyears. And we had a car around about then.
Did you build your house when you were married?
Yes, it was great. But the house I lived in as a child, I must have been brought into it, I think, when I was just after I was a sort of baby. And it was a big house. And then when my sister got married in about 1923, she built a George Hudson's Ready Cat. And it cost £325 or £350. That was the price of a two-bedroom, lounge room, dining room, and a little small kitchen. And I think the veranda was added on to extra expense, but that was £350. And then in 1939, we built the house then next to her. And ours was about 30 square, and a tile roof, a fibro house, with a separate laundry and a separate garage with it. They were tile roof. We had cement from the front gate to the garage door at the back of the house, down the side of the house, but not just behind the house. And that cost us £650.
Wow.
And that was a big house. I think the lounge was 14 by 14. It was a 6-foot lobby in between that and the bed, and it was 12 by 12. And I remember the dining room was 22 by 16. The back bedroom might have been 12 by 12. We had this 30-foot long veranda, 10-foot wide at the back, adjoined onto the house, of course. And so it wasn't small.
Did you have a bathroom inside?
We had a bathroom inside, and we had an electric heater, and we had some hot water, and oh, it was fantastic. But,
and did you have a lot of land around you? What size? Nice
size, but we had, I'd say it was about, the average size. I think it might have been, went back probably 150 to 200 feet, I suppose, and the front would have definitely been 60, 70 feet wide, perhaps 80 feet wide, and would have been about the size of it. And my sister had the same. And my father's was larger. As I say, the old hospital was on it. And I think it shows that in the records that it would be at the council, I suppose, or something before they built the new one. Mum used to work for the hospital in a comforts club, I used to call it. And she'd have lots of card parties at her place, and plates and plates of sandwiches, and always Lamingtons. Never miss Lamingtons. And it was 1 and 6 to go. I was put to bed, I know that. My sisters would help, and a great big boiler of coffee, which you would make on skim milk, of course, not pure milk. But it was lovely coffee. I can always remember everybody wanted another cup. And Mum made quite a few pounds for the Comforts Club for that way. And I'm always saying, I had never heard my mother say she never had enough money that week or anything. She was never short of money. And Dad would have got about £4 something a week. And that would have been the wage. And whether they were paying off their house or not, I don't know. We didn't have a building society. We got married when it started. And then we were the 13th one to get in that building society. But we were buying the timber for a good 6 months before we got the place, because we could build it, put it on our land and store it, you see, till we got and pay for it, and we didn't know any of that. And and we only had to pay £1 a week back to the building society. Well, that seemed a lot of money those days, but now I just, have to smile to myself. £1 a week, it was too ridiculous.
And, did you work at all when you were married?
I worked at Fletcher's, which was a big store then. And Mr. Fletcher used to come round door to door first before he got the shops. And
that was the clothing store, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a general everything in the end. He only started off with haberdashery and all that coming round to your door. And I used to be scared because this man came round to our door. I don't know why. He had a black beard, and I never saw him one with a beard. And Mum would always buy elastic or tape or something, And then I went to work for him. And my sister went to work, being the eldest one. He had got a shop in Parramatta first, and she used to travel to Parramatta, which from Penrith to Sydney was a good hour and a half, and to Parramatta was about 3/4 of an hour, I suppose. Mm. Then when my other sister was old enough, she went to work for Mr. Fletcher. And then when I was 14, I went to work for Mr. Fletcher, but in Penrith, he got a store in Penrith then. And I used to say, Fuji silk, one limber tape in your yard or something like that, And you never sold coloured shirts. It was all white shirts for men. White shirts, telling a lie, it was black shirts because they worked on the railway. It was all railway men, and it was black shirts. And we wore black stockings. My sisters got married in two plain, two pearl rib stockings, white stockings and black stockings for travelling. And when we did sell, stockings did come in, they were only 9 inches of silk and the rest was all lisle or cotton, because your dress went down to meet the silk. Yeah. That was the first ones. But
did you make your own, did your mother sew, and did you sew for your children?
No, I was never sewed. I don't know why we didn't. We did fancy work. We used to do a terrible lot of fancy work with two sisters and I, but Mum used to crochet a terrible lot, but she couldn't teach us. And we couldn't teach her to knit, and that was how it went. Mm-hmm. But no, Mum only just did plain sewing, mending and sewing, and that's probably all I've done too. And we weren't married to a machine. I've got a sewing machine, and it's a Beverfield machine that I bought when I was 17. It's a cabinet, and it still goes. But I made little things when the kids were little. That's all. I wouldn't say it was any. It was a good sew or anything, but I still had that machine. And my sister had a white machine, and it was a real good, faithful old thing. She used it a lot for kiddies' things only, and mending, And
when you were married, did you work then too for Mr. Fletcher, did you?
I went to Parramatta for 12 months. We leased a flat down in Mays Hill of Parramatta.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And I went to work for Grace Brothers down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they'd been there that long. And then when the lease was up, we went back to Penrith because we knew we were going to build. So we went back and lived with my mother and father for the 12 months till we got the rest of the timber and got the place fixed up to build. And my girl is 53 and So I think she was 18 months old when we moved into the house. And
so you had lots of family support when you were, you know, when your children were small?
Oh, yes. And when the Depression was on, that was one thing that fed us was Dad's garden. And my sister and her, she had four children. And my sister, other sister, came from Sydney, and she came up for 1 and 6 in a train. I said, always came with a little port and go back with the little vegetables and that in. We had lots of relations come on Sunday for the day, 1 and 6, and they always bring a port with their apron in. I don't know what they had the apron for, because they never washed up or wiped up. It was an excuse to bring the port, I think, to go home with beans and all sorts of things, you know. And my dad had a marvellous garden. Mum was a marvellous cook. And we always had people, relations coming from Sydney, from as far as Bondi, just for the day. And Bondi, Croydon, Parramatta. Mum had a big, it came from a family of about 10, I think it was. Father came from a family of 14. And we've still got those on my mother's side. We're still, what's left of the family, we're still as pally with us what we've been all our life.
Yeah.
And we still keep in contact with one another.
And did you have lots of friends in the community in Penrith too?
Oh yes, I was the founder of the CWA Younger Set. And I just can't think what year it would have been. It would be in the 1920s, I'd say, might be getting nearer to 1930. Perhaps it was about 1930. No, it was before 1930. And I was the president, and I went through the course, the president, the secretary, the treasurer. Now, we had a nice club, and some of the people that were in it are still here, and we'd run a ball, 7 and 6, a double ticket, and a sit-down supper, knife and fork. And you decorated the hall with trees and goodness knows what you had. Same as you decorate the church, used to be all palm trees and everything. But it really must have been a pest with some of the frocks and that. But Mr. Ernie Orth, the town clerk that was then, he was the organist of the Church of England. And Mr. Ferrier was the minister. And you always ask them all to the wedding. When you got married, you asked them those to the wedding. And we had a couple of hundred guests at St. Stephen's Church, which my mother catered for. How, I wouldn't know, because she was at the wedding dressed up and in her seat. And she had women serving the meal. And we had in the old Dungown Theatre where the pictures used to be. And I don't know whether they tell me the Dungown's gone now in Station Street. But A lot of our visitors had their friends, and they had to come by train because they didn't all have cars then. In fact, we'd been loaned a car from one of the guests to go for our honeymoon, and it poured the week before, and it poured for the wedding. And the only time it stopped was when it was time to go to the church, and the guests, we had a big wedding, 200, as I said, and they couldn't get in the church, some of them, and they had to stand outside, and it never rained. And we came out, and we got down to the Gown Theatre, and it started raining again. So it was very fortunate. And we went out West Way, but we couldn't get into a hotel first, but you know, hotels were boarding houses. And my husband went in one, where they had no beds, and he went in and went to another one. They wouldn't get up once they shut their shop. And this chap came along, and he asked him what he was looking for, and he told him, "We shall take you to a guest house." So he came across. I opened the door. It was a little single-seater car with a dicky seat in the back. And he got in. I fancy doing that today. You know, this is what I think now. And we went wherever he told us, down straight down Katoomba Street to the Clarinda. And we got a bed for the night there. And the next night we went on to Taranaha. You couldn't get a bed there because the hotel was full of peat pickers. And there was a lot of peat pickers, so that's the only time I'd been through Taranaha. We ended up at Oberon, and we got a bed at Oberon. And then we made friends with some people who we went to see the next year, and they had this big house with dirt floors. And they were used to sprinkle them in the morning with a little water and sweep them, and they were like rock, it was just like rock. And this huge fireplace, and a big, thick iron bar across it with two huge black kettles with taps on them hanging there, and a long seat in the front, and a stool, and I think eight of us, nine of us must have been sitting along this stool in front of the fire. And I can't remember seeing chairs with backs on them. And the bedrooms had the dirt floors too, but they made us very welcome. And the next year we went back again. And when we went, they had to direct us from the toilets, not down there, it's down this side this year, because they had to shift it, they had great big pits.
Oh, right.
And we had to go and tell where the toilet was. You could stand at the back door and eat cherries off the tree, right at the back door, and the big baker oven was right there too, with the loaves of bread, about seven loaves of bread at a time in it.
Sounds wonderful.
The big washing whole thing was down the back of a great big tub thing that they used to make a fire under and boil all the clothes.